ask that you remain standing if you're able, and we will read our sermon text from Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Malachi, third chapter. This is, you could say, the penultimate chapter of the Old Testament, the one coming before the last. And it's found on page 942 in your Pew Bible. Let's listen to God's inspired and inerrant word. Malachi 3:16. There we read, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares, as a man has pity on, as a man has compassion on his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." Amen. You may be seated. Please pray with me. Lord, our Father, our Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for this word. Thank you for your Spirit who teaches us and shows us and lifts up the Lord Jesus before us. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be lifted up, that you would draw us to yourself. As we hear you cry out, "Return," let us return to you and know that you will return to us. Give us grace, Lord, to rightly fear you and honor you. And bless this word as it goes out. May it gather in that harvest and that glory that you designed for it to bring. To your name, through Jesus, amen. Amen. This morning, our sermon title is Precious Promises from Our Faithful Father. Precious Promises from Our Faithful Father. Or, second title is, Are You in God's Book? Are you in God's book? I see some smiles and acknowledgement that, yes, I know that my name is written there. By God's mercy and God's grace, amen? Amen. This is a very encouraging passage in Malachi, the book of the prophet Malachi. Malachi, which means my messenger. This is God's messenger, the last prophet in the Old Testament. He's bringing God's message. This is a tough book. If you've read Malachi, you know that God is taking his people to task because they've been brought back from the exile, and they went into the exile because of their disobedience, because of the lack of fearing God. And now the people, they're back in the land, but they're falling back into sinful patterns of unbelief. And even so, even though they're falling into these bad patterns of unbelief and sin, they wanted to be thought of as righteous, as spiritual, as those who are good with God. So if you ask them, how is your relationship with God? They'd say, I'm good. You ever hear that? I'm good. That's what they would say. But even so, there is this measure of lethargy and apathy regarding the things of God. And so God, through his prophet, his messenger, Malachi, takes his people to task for 8 things that they were saying in response to God's word. God would say one thing, and then they would say something else. How is it that you accuse us this way? And then the Lord would give them the reasoning to answer their pushback regarding God, who knows all things. He knows our hearts. There's no faking it with God. Amen? And so we need to recognize that God knows, and we can't hide from God. But that's a good thing, because we really need to be real with God and real with what's going on inside. And that's exactly the message of Malachi. And when we're willing to return to God, guess what? He promises, return to me and I will return to you. What a blessed promise. But the problem is, and the problem always is, sin gets in the way. And even in Romans 3, where God throws the book at us, he throws it at me as well as you, he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And you can read Romans 3 and see that list of sins, just in case we think that we don't have a problem and that we don't need a Savior. God spells it out in Romans 3:10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. Ever tell a lie? Ever shade or twist the truth to your quote-unquote advantage? Well, that's deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. They are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. And then the bottom line, our big problem, there is no fear before their eyes. Oh, that God would give us a deep and abiding fear of him. Amen? Now you might be asking, what is the fear of the Lord? And I'm not going to answer that question. And I'm going to let you think about it. What is the fear of the Lord? And I want to bring you to a passage in Revelation that talks about the fear of the Lord. And that verse is Revelation 1:12. There was a voice speaking to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. Verse 12 of Revelation 1, and I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, and girded across his breast with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held the seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one, and I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." That was the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified state, showing his glory to John the Evangelist, John the Apostle. Remember, the one that Jesus loved, the closest disciple to Jesus, when he sees Jesus in all of his glory, he falls down to the ground as a dead man. That is the fear of the Lord. Amen? Our greatest need is for the fear of the Lord. One of the titles for God, one of the names of God is Isaac's fear. Isaac's fear. That's what Isaac called God. And so we need that fear of the Lord. And so the main point, the proposition, the big idea this morning is this: we must honor our Father in heaven by fearing him even now. Even now, we need to fear our Father in heaven. Amen? Why do I say even now? Because our passage in Malachi 3 says, then. It says, then. Even though all these people were not fearing God, there were some who feared God. And what does it say about them? Well, it says that they feared God and they did three things. And these are the main points of the sermon. They spoke. They spoke to one another. They also savored the promises and book of God. And lastly, they saw the difference of serving the Father. Let's look at the first. They spoke to one another. It says in verse 16 of chapter 3, Malachi, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Beloved, are we speaking to one another? We need to speak to one another the words of the living God. Amen? We need to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Amen? Then we'll be encouraged. Then there'll be some life to our religion. And so let's speak to one another. Who are we going to speak to? We're going to speak to one another about him. Amen? Not about men. Not about women. Not about politics. Not about what's going on in the world. We're going to speak of him. Malachi 3 talks about him. Malachi 3:6, for I, the Lord, do not change. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed. We would be consumed. We deserve to be consumed because of our sin. But God does not change. God is perfectly holy. But he's also perfectly merciful, and he provided a way for unholy people to be made holy through the cross of Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice to take away my sin and yours. And so the question is this morning, have you believed in that sacrifice? Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Is it? Do you believe in the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Jesus is that Lamb slain on Calvary's tree to take away my sin, to take away your sin. Have you believed in him as your Lord and Savior? I urge you to trust him alone for salvation. To not say, oh, I'm good. No, you're not. But I know someone who is, and he's good in our place on the cross. And then his goodness flows into us through his Spirit when we receive him as Lord and Savior. How do I become a child of God? By believing and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Why do I say that? Is it just because the pastor says it? No, it's because God's word says it. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as received him, and that him is the Lord Jesus Christ, but as many as received the Lord Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Amen. Have you believed in his name? If you have, then your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Your name is written in this book of remembrance. We need to speak to one another the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget the good news that connects us with our Heavenly Father, with the Lord Jesus, with the Holy Spirit, and one another. We have communion with God, and we have communion with one another. Amen? Let's encourage and remind one another of these things. We can speak to one another of his invitation. Return to me, and I will return to you. Also, Malachi 3, and verse 7. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. And that is the message continually through the prophets. If you will return to me, I promise I will return to you. Amen? Amen. And so let's return to him in holy fear. Amen. And there are more things that we can speak to one another. We could speak to one another in prayer and praise and intercession. We speak to God primarily, but we're also speaking to one another because the prayers of the saints, they strengthen us. They build us up. They encourage us to grow in the discipline and the labor of prayer. Amen. But we also savor. We savor the promises of the Father, and we savor His book. Look with me at the second part of verse 16 in Malachi 3. It says, "And the Lord listened and heard them." He heard them speaking, those who feared the Lord. "And so a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on His name." A book was written. Now, the Bible talks again and again about this book. It's the book of God where He writes the names down of those who fear Him. And this is mentioned again and again through the scriptures. It's mentioned in Exodus chapter 32. Moses knew about this book, Exodus 32 and 32. Just to give you a little of context here, this is just after the people of God sinned greatly against the Lord. They had made a golden calf, an idol, to bow down and worship. And they were committing indecent acts in that worship. And the Lord was angry with the people of God and was about to wipe them out as a people. And Moses interceded for them. And it says in Exodus 32:32, Moses is praying to the Lord God and says, "Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, please forgive their sin, Lord. But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written." That's intercession. When you're willing to take the hit instead of those who have sinned. And so Moses is interceding. He becomes a type of Christ. "Don't let them be blotted out. Please forgive them. Blot me out if need be, instead, in their place." And God says, "No, I will not. Those who sin against me, they will be blotted out." And then, 1,400 years later, Jesus Christ came, lived a perfect life, offered Himself up as a perfect sacrifice on the cross, and was blotted out for the sins of His people. "You shall name Him Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins." He was blotted out for you and for me. But then He was raised up again and written in the Lamb's book of life forever. Amen. And if you believe in Him, your name is written in that book of remembrance. And so that's something for us to savor. Thank you, God, for that book. Thank you, God, for this book that catalogs that book and all the promises of God that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you savor this book? Is it tasty to you? Is it a delight to you? Is it delicious? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Here we read of Him and His promises. And some of those promises are given to us in Malachi 3 and verse 17. He says, They will be mine. Are you the Lord's this morning? Is he yours? And are you his? I am my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love. Do you see that banner over us? The banner of the cross. That's a banner of love, where Jesus says, I love you this much. I have loved you to the uttermost. I have loved you as much as I possibly can. I have poured out my blood in love for you. His banner over me is love. God loved us so much. God so loved the world that he gave. True love gives. And true love gives the best, the first and best. And God gave the first, his firstborn, the Lord Jesus. He gave the best, precious blood to wash away your sin and mine. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you have Jesus, you have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Savor the promises of the Father. We are his. And not only that, it says that he will make us his jewels. Wow. Do you understand, dear believer, dear and beloved child of God, that you, each one of you have trusted Jesus, you are God's special treasure, that he treasures you, not because of you, but because of Jesus, and because you are in Jesus, that's our union with Christ. And so he loves you like he loves his only begotten Son, because you have chosen him and you are in him by faith. Hallelujah. We are his jewels. Wow. Now, some of us are diamonds in the rough. Amen? Some of us have some rough edges that need to be sanded off or broken off sawed off, pruned off. God sanctifies us. We are not yet what we ought to be, but we're in the process of sanctification. Amen? Amen. And yet when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. He sees us perfected and glorified. And so there's the now and there's the not yet. God lives in eternal now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, we shall be like him, because we will see him face to face. Wonderful promises in God's word. And then it says in verse 17 of Malachi 3, I will spare them, or I will have compassion on them, as a man has compassion on the son who serves him. What a blessing that our Father is rich in compassion. God has a big heart for all of his children. God has a huge heart for all of his children. How can he be concerned about me and you and you and you? Because He has infinite love. And so he can love each one of us as if we were the only one. But we also understand that we're not the only one. And so we understand that we have love overflowing for one another. And so, beloved, we love because he first loved and gave himself for us. Amen. Savor those promises and savor that your names. Don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Amen. Amen. Lastly, we need to see the difference. See the difference. Discern the difference. There is a difference between the wicked and the righteous, between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. That's where the rubber hits the road. Are you serving God this morning? Are you among the righteous this morning, or are you among the wicked? And so we need to make that discernment, that decision, that separation. God is all about separating light from darkness, truth from error, righteousness from wickedness. There's a dividing line. Which side are you on this morning? The dividing line, again, is the cross of Jesus Christ. That's what separates the righteous from the unrighteous. Are you believing in the righteousness of Christ this morning? I urge you to trust in him alone for your righteousness. And then God will change you. You will be a servant of the living God. Why? Because Jesus came to serve. Jesus did not come to be served. We're not here to be served, beloved. We're here to serve, just like Jesus. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, Mark 10:45. He came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so that cross is the dividing line between those who serve God and those who do not serve God. And so I urge you to be about those who have believed and those who serve. And we need to see the difference. It says here in verse 18, so you will again distinguish or see the difference between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about the activities that we are engaged in as believers and engaged in as the church. We serve God daily. We teach one another daily. We share the gospel, or we evangelize daily. That's what we do. That's who we are in Christ, because that's what Jesus does. Amen? And his Spirit is in us. And so we need to see the difference, or to use a little bit of Spanish, viva la diferencia. Viva la diferencia. We need to see the difference that God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, makes in a believer. And so we ought to live differently as we savor the promises and as we speak to one another. Are you living differently this morning? And if you do, it will show and it will give glory to your Father in heaven. How do we honor our Father in heaven? We honor him by truly fearing him. We honor him by speaking to one another. We honor him by savoring his promises, by savoring the fact that our names are written in his book. And we honor him by seeing the difference that serving our Father makes. May the Lord bless us as we consider this word, and may we be strengthened to fear him and honor him. And may the Lord also bless all the fathers who are out there. May he enable us to reflect something of the glory and the compassion and the love of our Heavenly Father. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, our Father, for this word. Thank you for your encouragement. Lord, we pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. We pray that you would strengthen us, encourage us. Thank you for this strong message from Malachi. Lord, I pray that we truly would fear you even now. As your word says, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another and gave attention and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and honor his name. Lord, we honor your name. We thank you for the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his so great salvation. Give each one listening this morning grace to believe in and receive Jesus as Lord and as Savior. And so bless each one here with salvation. Bless us, Lord, to speak to one another. Bless us, Lord, to savor those promises. And bless us to see the difference that serving God makes. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen.